Didn't you ask me to solve the problem? Here's how I solve the problem. And I'm looking to leave, but you're so threatened by the energy of innovation and creativity, which is why most creatives have to work as consultants. Most creatives are outside of the process because the ability to see things differently. It's like, well, how did you know that? I've had people argue with me on contracts. Well, where's the template for this? And who gave there is no template. It was a white sheet of paper. I drew it, and then I sat in front of the computer and I built it. Hello, my name is Stephanie Coleman. I am the publisher of Tray Magazine, the definitive voice of the community.
It's Kellen, and today on Diversified Game, you heard it right. You like Trey Magazine. Kellen, where in the world have you gone? What language? But now we're talking that third world, y'all. And I just came back from my trip to Houston, Texas. You know, Houston is gonna be like a second or third home for me and mine. We love it. But I got to go to a gala, and thanks to Brother Sharif, ShawFilms.com. Y'all, check him out. He gave me a connection that is more than just she does similar things in the industry, and you guys' paths may have crossed somewhere down the line. This person might be family. She has to do her full background. We're gonna have to do DNA. It's bigger than a plantation, it's a bloodline of just hustle and go. So I have Miss Stephanie Coleman, publisher of Trey Magazine, and this ain't her first rodeo. She's been successful in many a different things. But she's going to give us the game on all things entrepreneurship and business magazine. Miss Stephanie, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad we connected. I do agree with you. It is more than last names. There's something kindred in the spirit.
And we're going to get all into it, but I want you to tell people, because people will see this magazine, this beautiful magazine that she gave me. This is the finest paper. You guys know who know me the long way. I started with magazines being a writer. So when I see something this quality, 20 plus years later, I'm like, wow, okay, we can still have people who can put out good material. Let the people know how this started, how the struggle was, because they'll think that, boosh. Of course she worked for Essence. Of course she can make a magazine. It was easy for her, and she already knew the advertisers. Give us the game on that.
So it's interesting because not all journeys start with a willing participant. I was not a willing participant with the magazine. I had moved back to Houston. My dad needed some TLC and life was happening. And I had went through a divorce and said, well, let me come back to Houston and reset. And as I would go through the city, there was such a discrepancy between what I saw, what I heard, what the people knew. And as a researcher and with a background in marketing and advertising, and I work for all these big brands in New York City telling their story, I realized that what we needed was a better story. And we needed to own a platform that said our story unapologetically and that was a trusted source of news. So I'm sitting around at a bus stop dropping my son off for school. And I would be like, this disparity is an issue, or this issue is something we need to think about, and someone needs to do something. And as I said it, the lady just turned around so casually and said, well, why don't you? And I had there's no comeback to that because I'm seeing her every day until school is out. And so her question became, well, how's it going? And I was like, I thought we were just talking at the bus stop. I didn't realize that now I have to actually manifest this. So I sat down and had really gone to some other publications and said, hey, Black Papers, we need to really sort of re-pivot. And it was the same statement. It's like, well, if you can do it, then why don't you do it? And I looked up and said, you know what, why don't I do it? And I started with 24 pages, went and got my first ad, which was exponentially more than I had expected. I thought I'd get $40. I actually got enough to print the magazine, which was surprising because I only had two sheets of paper. that said, this is what I think I want to build. And I had typos. Oh, it was shameful. It was typos. It was wrong email addresses. It was, I don't have an answer to that question because I didn't think you were going to actually say yes. This was going to be my excuse to say, well, I tried and it didn't work. Like I had the whole, you know, feeling of like failure and move on to something else. But when they said yes, I was really actually in business with this story. And so we did the first one. It landed in our offices on Juneteenth, which was the official launch of the magazine, just by chance. It was really actually late, which ironically is right in line with Juneteenth in terms of getting the word out. And the community loved it. And so I said, well, okay, well, we'll do one. And people began to knock on the office doors. I was at my father's office at the time. And say, when's the next one? How can I contribute? Then the next one came at us. Hey, how can I contribute? And it grew by the will of the people. And I am sitting here excited, surprised, perplexed that, as you said, people said paper doesn't matter and people aren't reading. But I think people are looking for real substance and real content. And they are reading that. And they are demanding that we do better with what we're giving them. So I'm excited.
Well, you know, people, they say aren't reading, but if you're not reading, you're probably, I could probably guess where you fall in the line of the economic yeah. system, because what's really happening is what you're reading, but also people are so worried and censored. And, you know, this is not a, let me just say, this isn't the feds. This isn't black gold back in the day. But how do you, in this time of clout where everybody wants some attention, you know, not go to the mud and say, hey, Sexy Red just came through and did this, because that's the headline that people say, oh, Sexy Red said it. And then how do you write about something that's a sensitive matter and still have some type of class? Because as you know, people can write anything they want and say anything they want about you and people believe it. So give folks, I want you to give a lesson so they can learn how to have some class in life.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, I think at the end of the day, you have to start with your core values at the beginning. And there have been some rooms that I've walked in where I was like, oh God, this check would be so much easier if I did a Sexy Red, or if I did, you know, no judgment against however her marketplace works, but that's just not the tribe that I'm looking to fish for, right? And I had to walk away from the money. I had to walk away from the language. I had to walk away from the story. And you just have to know your line. And I used to work for, and I'm not going to dog them, but I used to work for Essence and Jet. And when they were bought out or repurposed to say that we could do better engagement and outreach, they lost their voice. They lost their core mission. They lost who they were serving, and they started to serve the advertisers. And I just have said, and I think every entrepreneur should just remember through the season to align yourself with people who stay in whatever your integrity model is, because celebrities come and go, and your brand, product, and service will come and go and die with them. And so I wanted to anchor it into something that does not go, and class does not go out of style. Something well done does not go out of style. Something meaningful does not go out of style. Something that I can play with my, I've had parents come and say, when my kids need to do a vision board for their future, we went and got your magazine, because they knew they could do it. They knew there would be something for them to aspire to become that looked like them, that had their value systems, that spoke to the possibilities of the future and wasn't mythology. It's not like it's a sci-fi book. This is Black excellence, period. This is excellence, period. So we are part of this story. So I really have, I've had my seasons where I just said, well, I'd rather close it than do this. But yeah, you just kind of have to stick with it. I'll give a quick story with that. I was listening to the BBC once, however I caught this story, and they got caught in some, one of their tabloids got caught in some scandal, and they were tapping phones or whatever it was. And so the guy was so casual, and his advertisers were going out and He was about to, everyone thought he was going out of business. It was global ads. And he says, oh, we get our money from our readers. The advertisers are just bonus. And I thought, how extraordinary to build a brand that's not based on the way we do things in the US, that's actually based on content. So if he had 3,000 readers at $30 each or $3 a publication, he was selling enough in that that it didn't matter. So I just think if you're true to your audience, whoever that audience is, and you don't abandon or betray them, they'll be good to you. And I'm learning that even myself.
Well, that's real talk. That's real talk. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to go back. You said your first time you tried to get some money, they gave you more than what you thought. Tell the mm-hmm. reader who's like, I'm looking for that person or someone like that in my city, no matter where they are. Who did you go to? You don't have to say the amount because I don't want them pocket watching too heavily. But, you know, where did you go? And how did they give you more than you asked for? I mean, that's like a blessing from above. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Well, I think one of the things that we all are learning as we start our businesses is finding alignment with people who believe in and like your vision. They didn't like my product because I didn't have a product, right? I had calculated, I think whatever you're doing, you calculate your price point. I had a price point, and I'll say, like, you know, people always laugh and say, oh, this is, you walk without fear. They're like, no, it's not. You walk in spite of fear, right? I walked in there nervous. I was 15 minutes late. I could have walked there. It was right around the corner, but I was so, nervous that this was about to happen and I was about to enter into this world of entrepreneurship. And for anyone who's done it, it's a road to be on, and it's a hard road to get off when you're on it, right? Because the more independent you become, the harder it becomes to work for someone else. And so it's a unique path. And so I could literally, I think they were less than a mile and a half from where I was, and I couldn't find parking, whatever my mind had done to sabotage my success. I had my price sheet and I had a sheet of the vision. And at the bottom of it, I had, I had a statement of being 30% extra if you lived outside of the neighborhood, the trade. And the goal was, I already know that we're historically financially underserved demographic. So there's no way they can afford to help support us as a magazine, as a business. But external to us, those people who wanted them as patrons, well, then you have to pay extra so that I can get them in the magazine for free. And I can allow them a discount or prorated space, but there's still a hard cost to this publication. And so I'm going into this magazine thing and I say, here's the vision. This is why, and this is why I believe in my community. And this is what it's going to do. And I'm all in when I finally sit down. And the guy was, I think he was I'm trying to think, I think it was like from Ireland or something. Like culturally, he didn't have any like American ties. He didn't know the story. So I'm telling him this and he's looking and he says, do you have your paperwork with us? And I was like, I don't know what that means. And then he asked me something else. Do you have? And I was like, I've never heard of that. And so I went to an institution. So before I walked out with the publication, I had my ads and I had my desired value system. I wanted to work with academic institutions. I wanted to work with brands who were in the arts. I wanted to work with, but I also said, I don't want to work with liquor companies. I don't want to work with tobacco companies. I had the don't list. Now those companies pay really big, really easy, really effortless. And that was a very hard decision to stay to because people say, well, why not take the money? Well, that would have been the best money ever. But those are also the same things that I've seen destroy this community in the way they've been serviced. So you do have to stay on that. I have chosen to stay on the line. And I catch Black Ford and whatever. And I have other things that come from the life I've chosen. But you just pick your line. So anyway, when I went in, I showed it to him. And he helped me calculate my price. And I said, I'll wait, you're 10% more for this and 7% more for that. And how much is that? And I literally expected to only walk out with $40 to $400. And he said, I said, I don't know. I didn't expect this conversation to go this far, and I didn't actually calculate it for it. Like, I just, you've already, this is a little complicated. And he came out with it, and I said, and I know this price I just gave you is what I did not calculate for, but you owe another 30% on top of it for the people. And he smiled and he said, okay. And I think from that point, I was less than $100 from the price I had estimated to print the first magazine. So it just, you just can't make it up. But there was multiple times I should have walked out of there and just been grateful. I'm grateful that you've already asked for more than what I expected, but the goal is to help this way. And holding tight to that has really helped us grow. So I just say for any entrepreneur, go in not with the greed of the calculating the funds, but what is your core mission and the value? And if they align with it, great. If they don't align with it, you walk away. Sometimes you're stuck in a contract, but once you get out of it, say this really isn't what I wanted, and keep on moving until you find the right tribe. And it is an effort to find the right tribe.
That is what Seth Godin writes about in his book, Tribes. I tell you guys, read, read, read. So you could almost say it was the luck of the Irish, if we got that right. And in Gaelic, I'm
like
not even gonna
that.
try. Yeah, I'm not even gonna try my Gaelic until I get to the place. But you guys know how you say thank you. This is a beautiful thing. And business is a beautiful thing. And you talk about the freedom and the exposure and the things you get to do that people don't get to do that have to ask permission. But there also comes with it, I know my name has been run through the mud and you can't defend yourself sometimes. And it doesn't even make sense now because once people read something, but for you've had success and they've tried to run your name through the mud for having success, for making, she's made over $1 million, y'all. She won't say it, but I will. And when you're doing RFPs, when you get that RFI or that RFQ and you're like, I want to be in this game, and you talk about the life you chose, and that's something I use. People think, because I got married in Springfield, Mass. I was a connected guy. If you guys know, you know. But when you're connected with certain people, they just can't wait, the news media, to try to just throw your name under the mud. You can't be that good as a young, and I'm gonna say black person. You can't be that good. There has to be something behind it. Talk about how you've overcome that. Because you've gone through it and you're still smiling and you're still winning and she's still free.
Thank you. I've had my moment though. I've said some words on some of that, but I think that also becomes the hurtful part that I think you have to know in business is that one of the things when I first started, and this is, I think, the only thing that prepared me for it, is the first year I started business. And you want to talk about sweat equity? I had sunburns and blisters from being outside for hours, for weeks, putting things on cars. Like it was not an easy process, right? But after the first year, people, I started to ask around, and people were like, well, who's the person who really owns it? Now, my name is the only name in the book, the thing. And everyone said that they believed a white male owned it. And I was just a face of it. And there's no way, which was the statement, a little black girl like you could be doing this, right? And that was just repeated. And I remember it took my father a whole nother year to tell people, no, this is her office. She's my daughter. Come and watch her work. That they just didn't understand. So from the beginning, I've had the battle of disbelief of there's no way that you're capable on this level. Now, I don't know about you, but when I left, I was told you have to be better than the best to be good, right? So I knew how to sweep floors, cut paper, do type. I had to do everyone's job because in every room I was in, I was one of the only little, flies in the buttermilk. I was on a little chocolate drop in the mix. So I had to be really capable. I had to be more than average. And as you speak to your guests, I had to also say, I had to read a lot. I had to read my story, their thrown away story, their extra story. I had to know everyone to be allowed to be in rooms. So as it grew, I did walk into the spaces that I wasn't supposed to be in, and it caused a lot of anger. How did you get in? How did you get in without sleeping with someone? How'd you get in without favor? How'd you get in because we know that we didn't put your name on the list? How'd you, right? Like you could just see the rage when you look up and you were still in there. And I was like, well, I do have some talent for one. And two, I know how to go without sleep to make sure that I'm still in the race. And the other part that people don't understand is you talk about this piece, and I've gone to chamber meetings after Black organizations, and there's so much about the process that they never explain to Black entrepreneurs. And even if you have a big project, they also don't understand that it comes with big fees. Ain't nobody giving nobody chocolate, a project at market. If it's a $50 project, it's gonna cost you $120 to pull it off, right? Like that the cost of the service is a whole nother process, not the cost of a contract, right? And the idea, I don't know if any of your listeners have ever been to any of those, but when have you gone to a small business seminar where they talked about estimating? When have you gone to a small business seminar for communities of color where they talked about project management? When have you gone to one where they've talked about anything more than exploiting you to be able to navigate these new levels? I had to pay for other groups to explain to me what upscaling was. I didn't know that. And I go to every meeting, right? I'm a reporter, journalist. I'm in meetings I don't even want to go to. So there is something that you'll have to navigate. I don't know how I'm still smiling through it, but I also know that it is unfortunate and really a crime of this country and our system that our organizations that are dedicated to, there's a reason why there is a whole institution that needs to define, like from the federal in particular, how historically disenfranchised. That doesn't mean it was one or two. That means that it was a practice of misinformation, poor information around us. What makes us think that we wake up and those practices disappear because there's paperwork for women-owned businesses, for small businesses, for Black-owned businesses, that they have to keep that on the books because human nature in this environment doesn't provide equity, right? That the law has to provide. Well, the human nature within the process still has those biases against our own success. So you just have to grin and bear it as a marketing person. I could do an anti-campaign, hide it campaign, claim it campaign, but it's a good reminder to me that you do have to be super mindful that you're not allowed to, you have to just be super vigilant and be careful that people who are angry that you might be allowed in a room that they don't see other Black people in. That is almost a visceral response that how dare
But
you be
was
in.
it, but is it just, and I'm asking because I think I know the answer. Is it just, other folks? Because if you're not part of the right fraternal organization, the right church, our so-called own could say, how could you get in there? How could you give this money, to her and not to me? So it's like you're fighting uphill from so many fronts where you would think you'd have support. But I mean,
It's
did you
important.
have, or do you have support, when you did get your, what I call a golden contract? It's a golden deal. I mean, when I was
It's
reading through, yeah.
you know, everything is golden if you're not doing the work.
Yeah.
If you look at what the work is, it's, you know, I get people who look at the magazine and calculate it. And they say, oh, you're living, this is wonderful. It's like, clearly you don't know what work looks like, right? Or you get backstage passes. It's like, well, I'm not popping bottles backstage, I'm working backstage, right? Like I'm up at 11 o'clock at a concert when I've been up since 5 a.m. to write an article to get names that I think the mythology of using adjectives to describe work that's just unfamiliar or different, it glamorizes what at the end of the day is work. There is no uphill push for an entrepreneur because it is such a mythology around your freedom. I get flack for not answering phone calls. It's like, well, I too am working, right? That people say you have the freedom to just come and go with me to the mall, or you have the freedom to go to lunch. It's like, actually, I have less freedom because you can sit at the water fountain and get a check on Friday. I cannot, right? I can't, I don't, as an entrepreneur, whatever TikTok video people have watched that say you play all day is wrong. The truth of the matter is you have to work exponentially harder than those who have a full-time gig. You don't get a retirement benefit unless you create it in your company structure and put it in to your own retirement. So what
Reach.
you don't, right? You don't have a boss who you could argue, oh, you know, and my taxes and my, oh, no. You got to find a way to make enough to pay for them taxes too. So you can't debate the feelings of those who've only seen entrepreneurship from TV. You can't debate the feelings of those who have a side gig as their entrepreneur life, because for them it's easy, right? It's just like a bonus check. But when this is how you actually, right, like manage your life and the lives of others who assume that their payroll is coming on time, right? You're like, well, it's like kids, you're like, well, I understand you think on Friday you get an allowance, but where does that come from? Right? So I can't debate what people feel, but if you've been on the other side of this, you know, the fact is that everything is work and everything requires a lot of work to stay standing. And it doesn't matter who your tribe is. If I'm not a sorority, which I didn't pledge, and I walk in a room to do a story, okay, well, everybody's clutching their man and every man is clutching his thing, and who are you? And you're not an AKA versus a sorority. Well, I'm neither. I'm none. I'm nonpartisan in that level, but I'm also not accepted because I'm not in any one of those things exclusively. I go to a rave event to cover that. Well, then the hip hop group is like, how you get in there? We use what, right? Like everybody has become so tribed that the idea is media that you can go through each one of those spaces. Well, that's the only way I can share the world is if I've actually lived it. If not, I'm pulling off an AP press and this is what someone else said is the story. But I've been in the room. I've been in rooms that I don't want to be in. So as an entrepreneur, it's a unique story that we are up against, and stories that people write about us, stories that people tell for their own agendas, lenses that they look at it. You know, it doesn't, you know, feelings aren't facts, and the things that people write aren't always written for the best interest of the truth. So you just move along.
If you weren't so kind and humble, you would take this and think about it. If you were Charleston White and folks are saying how much money you have and what you have, like they do ball players, like they do athletes, and you would take this and look, I got it. You'd have the money on you. I got, you'd be flashing it. But when you talk about education, especially dealing with the government, I've sat in rooms and I've had, old white guys be like, what did she just say? I said, she said a source of side. And these people have made millions in government contracting and they didn't know what that was. This is the head guy. He pays somebody $15,000 just to make sure he can go get these contracts. He had no idea. And there was others who had to ask. So when you talk about they don't go to the black community, sometimes they don't go to any community. You got to go find this out. I've talked to people from Harvard, Yale, and Dartmouth. They don't know in government contracting or in certain business things, have an MBA, it doesn't matter. You have to do business to get it. And it's not easy, but it gets easier and easier depending on how you fluctuate your deals. Being a consultant, I said, I don't want to have to do anything in my the rest of my life. How can I make that happen? How can I save, like you said? How can I put it in certain things? How can I become partners with some of my, clients where all money in, even if you don't want my services anymore, I'll take my small percent, not as high as Elvis's manager. So this game is the only thing for certain people, because you would be fired. I have been fired many a times, from jobs for having ideas, but I've never been fired from a client. Thank God.
And that is the hard part, I think, as an entrepreneur that becomes a unique spot, is that as much as people like your ideas within an institution, they're very threatening. And so you have all of this creativity, but the only place it can live well is as an independent agent. Within institution, you, hey, save us the project, right? And you come up with these ideas. But there's like this tipping point where if your idea works too well, then you're a threat to someone else's job that you don't want, or someone else's program that you're not looking for, or someone else's contract that you don't want. It's like, look, I didn't, you asked me to solve the problem. Here's how I solve the problem. And I'm looking to leave, but you're so threatened by the energy of innovation and creativity, which is why most creatives have to work as consultants. Most creatives are outside of the process because the ability to see things differently. It's like, well, how did you know that? I've had people argue with me on contracts. Well, where's the template for this? And who gave there is no template. It was a white sheet of paper. I drew it, and then I sat in front of the computer and I built it, and I can build it for you so that it can be a template for you. But there has the concept that everything is a kit. Has it's like we've forgotten that when you buy fish, that someone had to go catch it, right? Like that we're so used to things being in a plastic container that we are angry at the fact that there's someone who really actually made it, that it didn't come from China and I just redid my name on the top of it. It you had an idea to build this and you didn't get it from some other ESPN format, but that you actually said, no, I've got a vision that I know how to manifest. And that's one of the things with the content in the magazine is that we celebrate people who have visions that they have or are trying to manifest. So we're building a tribe where what this is familiar. I say an artist manifests money all day because I can, which I cannot. But if someone who had a beautiful voice could sing, they go from broke to $500 by just singing, right? So for those who don't have that talent, they don't understand how they did it, but that gift bears fruit, right? I can look at a white sheet of paper and say, oh, I can calculate that into an opportunity for funds because I can see the real estate of telling a story on paper and I can itemize that and charge for that. And now this blank sheet of paper, if I do 20 pages, becomes a magazine worth value that then becomes revenue. That's what people who've been given vision, and I think every artist has divine vision, can do. You can look at sound and other things. And you can say, okay, within an hour, I can create this blog, I can do this thing, and I can put it on a platform, and that platform can now generate revenue. Well, you made that manifest into revenue. But what you did first is you provided vision. And for any entrepreneur who has vision, whether they want to knit socks for dogs or they want to swim backwards in the ocean for weeks, it doesn't matter what it is. If there is something that has been put on your heart to do, it can provide revenue because that's your divine gift. That's your divine calling. That's your assignment on this planet is to knit these socks for dogs or to, you know, sing these type of songs or to play this type of music. Like, that's what I loved about, you know, Solel and the people who we do, that they went against the grain and said, something greater is calling me and I'm going to share it with the world. And then the world thanked them by giving them whatever they needed. You want to barter for shoes? The world will give you that. You want to barter for cash? Whatever, the world will give that. But the reason why they pay is because they not only couldn't have the vision, they couldn't manifest it in a tactile way, which is what you're doing with your show, which is what people do with their music, which is what Trey Magazine is learning, that that's what our impact is too. It's, I can see what you're trying to build. Matter of fact, I can put it on paper. I can take it out of your head and I can put it on paper. And more importantly, as media, I can translate it so the people you're trying to reach can find it, and the people you're trying to not reach won't like it. That's a whole science in itself, right? And that is worth revenue to be able to say, oh, I never buy that shoes. I never listen to that music. I never read that magazine. That is not for you, right? Like, this isn't for you. And other people say, can I get an extra copy? How do I subscribe? Can you autograph it? That's who you were speaking to in the first place, right? And it's okay that everybody doesn't like you.
Well, you guys, she said something. I want you to even rewind it now to make something that people won't read. They may need it though. And that's when they talk about hiding it in a book. Because when we tell you anybody, you know, I just finished Dave Ramsey's Baby Step Millionaires, and teachers are like the number one savers, but people don't run into teaching. But teachers are retiring millionaires. And people are saying, how, with that little bit of salary that should go up to six figures? Thank you, teachers. But you know, you're teaching in so many ways. Talk about a community give back that you're doing outside of what everything you just mentioned, because all of it is the give back, or that you would like to do in the future. So maybe, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what is that for you?
So over the years, I think we've been able to grow because we don't tell news. We're in conversation with our community, right? So we've done everything from educational fairs as a part of Give Back when the community said, we need to talk about what's happening in these schools. Okay, we organized, we leveraged our perceived power as public media, whatever people perceive, to bring in the right people in the room, elected officials, school board members, and community, right? Of all pay grades, not a click of, not a capacity of. We've done trail rides, we've done parades, we've done fairs of all kind of sorts. We've done a variety of galas to celebrate community in unique ways. It is whatever community has asked for. We also, there's a group that doesn't celebrate Halloween. So we created an ancestor day where everyone dressed up as their favorite ancestor and celebrated. So it's been this unique fusion of how we've given back, but we try to give back in ways that are requested, not in ways that feed our vanity. And that's also exhausting because you're always stretched. Like, so you guys want what? So as a give back, if I think there's one thing that I'd really like to do next is I think community needs space. And I think community needs access to resources in a safe and set steady space. So in a long term, I think it'd be wonderful to collaborate with, partner with, and not a, like a real incubator, not these programs that make money off of getting young inner city entrepreneurs to come through and checking off the box, and they're getting a bunch, and you're walking away with your business in the same spot it was when you came in. But a real space where community can come in, can ask the questions from people who have real capacity to say, hey, I'm having this issue. How might I resolve this? Or, hey, how do I handle three staff members and one's remote? Where can we go? to begin to be actually sustainable. We have the largest growth, especially African American women, but African American or melanated people, however that is defined, a growth of entrepreneurship in this country is driving the economy. It's keeping post-pandemic an opportunity for us to be a sustained nation alive. But most of us are a one-man, two-man band. We definitely do not have a capacity or knowledge on how might the business grow and I actually take a nap, right? Or how might this business grow, employ others, and then be sustained so I can open another venture. So as a big give back, the goal would be to really learn that capacity from institutions that have done it and then begin to create space for entrepreneurs to actually thrive and not just survive all day and be criticized because I see you got a new pair of shoes, or you know what I mean? It's like, what? I can't have some shoes that don't hurt. Like that's the, and then I have, and then we create this poverty mindset because then you have to say, well, you know, they were on sale and you know it, because we don't have an incubating space where prosperity isn't stolen as a concept, or prosperity isn't unfamiliar. But that this is, I went to a big event. Sharif was there, and we interviewed a gentleman, and he was well off. He helped his place raise millions of dollars for their redevelopment. And he was so perplexed. He was a Caucasian man, and he was saying, it's just so amazing to see the Blacks who were prosperous. He said they just gave exponentially more proportionally than they should have towards the cause, because our understanding of money, even from those who have, is off. He would never have given that much of his fiscal resources back towards an event and back towards a community cause. But we also have this compelling heart to give back to our community in ways that are disproportionate to our resources. Well, who's going to, what bank has come in and said, maybe you should be more fiscally responsible? That's not what's happening for our community. So long story short, as a give back, I'd love to create space where real knowledge can be shared, so our entrepreneurs won't be demonized, but can be elevated.
You know what? You just said something, because you said an incubator and people think workspace or whatever, but that could be something that since PTAC has now rebranded as Apex Accelerators throughout this whole country. PTAC is no longer called PTAC, y'all. It's called Apex Accelerators. I got videos on it on the Kelly Cash YouTube. I can send it to you, Stephanie, so don't worry. I see you taking
Yes,
notes. But
I am.
I tell people SBA, SCORE, and Apex Accelerators can really, I tell them, save your money before you pay me. I have plenty of game. Go to them first. Let me know what you learned and come back,
Yeah.
because I'm a real student in this. And then a student gets to turn into a professor. But I could see some the Apex Accelerators taking something on like that, whether you're coming in and doing workshops and taking it, because not every person there is equal, like our fingers, right? And they need that. And a lot of them are not even business owners, or they have very small businesses themselves. So something like that could really help, where how do you grow? Because our people, sometimes you just suffer so long, it's hard to give money. I got no problem giving money. I'm a giver, because with that giving, it allows me to go to Malta. It allows me to go to Iceland, go to Kenya. Hey, Kenya, Uhaligani, for everyone listening out there, Sierra Leone, where is my second home? In Cameroon, I haven't forgot you. So I think that idea could really help in that realm. So swing it by them real quick and see. Because in
I
Houston,
will.
in Houston, y'all are lucky. Y'all are blessed. It's very rich county, and Texas is a rich state. Used to live in Texas. I saw Houston's wealth firsthand when I worked for CPS. Y'all move a little different in CPS in Houston. They pull up in limo trucks and stuff like that when they do stuff for the kids, because they got county money and city money. But
Yeah, it's a whole different. It's a whole different.
yeah, let the people know where they can find you. I think you might have retired from full-time consulting for now, but I want them where they can book you because they got to pay you for your time and when your book is coming out because the book has to come. You got too much sauce not to floss and let them know this is the steps. You got Jada ain't the only one who can write a book, you know. So when will we get it? Give us the
Hilarious.
game.
Ah, that's great. So the pressure now it's recorded. Now I've got to keep my word, right? So the way to reach is thetreymag.com, TheTreMag. It's our Instagram and TikTok and all those things which we're starting to launch. Definitely rebuilding those pieces. The goal for that is to sign up, become a member, share your voice so that we can help amplify it. That's really important. We've sort of cut some of those barriers down. I am actually oddly quite an introvert. So the idea that my picture and my voice is a part of that is very new and definitely on that level. So I am working on becoming more visible. Even Brother Sharif was like, Stephanie, you need to he said it was more bass, but I don't have that. He said I need to sort of work on all of that. So I am not quite sure when this story is going to be, but I do hope to help share. I think one of the things I'm seeing is that a lot of the amazing entrepreneurs that we have in businesses, until they learn to tell their story well, it doesn't get picked up on outlets and mainstream. So that is what I'm currently, if I was to do a book and a story, it's not about self, it's about helping to amplify better versions of the businesses. Because the better they are, the better Trey is, because the better stories we have to tell of their success. So we'll have that coming out soon. When it's ready, I'll let you know. But our new platform is just launched a week ago, and it is allowing for people to upload their stories in new and fascinating ways. So we'll see how that goes. We're 7 days in, maybe eight. So I don't have anything else on the horizon, but really pushing for people to be able to do that. And we've got gear now for the first time. But definitely just want the voices of our entrepreneurs globally to be heard.
And the gear looks fly. It's on some like Web3, you know, all out there type gear. It's not your average gear. Brother Sharif gave you some game. Give it back to him because he too needs to do more. I'm calling everybody out, you guys, because we only have so much time, listeners. I got 78 more years on this great earth and I'm out of here. You guys, I gotta give the game. Stephanie has to give the game. Everyone, we have to give the game. I went to a funeral 2 weeks ago for a 41-year-old woman who was healthy as whatnot, as far as we knew. You don't know. So get the game when you can. I want you guys to like this game. I want you to subscribe to this game. It's about helping you, helping entrepreneurs by sharing stories, how they started, sustain, and succeed in what they do. And even more importantly, y'all, I need you to share this game. It will change somebody's life. Y'all, be blessed.
Welcome to South Africa, and you will be coming with the African Diaspora News Channel with Phil Scott, of course. He is hosting you guys in this amazing country. He's been here before, he's been back again, and now he's bringing you on this trip. So make sure you sign up early so you can go ahead and come on this trip as well. It's going to be an amazing trip because we're actually coming to Johannesburg. We're going to show you all the sites like Mandela Square. And then, of course, from there, we're on our way to Durban. Durban is a special place. It's our playground. This is where the people of South Africa go to have a good time. It's tropical. We have beaches. We have everything. We have culture. We have nightlife. Everything is here, and you're going to absolutely enjoy yourself. So sign up with the African Diaspora News Channel now with Phil Scott, and we will see you guys here in what we like to call sunny South Africa. See you soon.
Hi, everyone. Have you ever been curious about visiting Africa? Which African country were you interested in? Kenya, Nigeria, Uganda, South Africa, Ethiopia? Which country are you interested in? My good friend, Kellen Cash Coleman, came up with a course called My First Trip to Africa that'll guide you through this process. It's only $20, and in this course you'll learn about passports, visas, vaccinations that you need before you go there, as well as a budget, how much the trip is going to cost. He also talks about what you should pack, what you should take with you, how you should travel on a budget. Did you know that $100 is worth 1,000 South African rand and over 10,000 Kenyan shillings? So imagine what you can do with $100 back home. I say back home because I'm from Sudan, I'm African, I already know how it's like. I know that, you know, when you convert Canadian and American money, it goes a long way when you're traveling across Africa. So if you're curious, if Africa is a place that you've always wanted to go, always wanted to move there, Kellen Cash is the person to ask. Check out the course. There's a little preview you can listen to before you actually purchase it. If you're interested in this course, visit www.diversifiedgame.com. Don't miss out.